In our study, we're going back, if I can, in history. If you lived in the days of Noah, and you were Noah, and you had to wait and work amidst unbelief, and things were getting worse and worser. They did evil continually, increasingly so. And Noah lived 120 years in that. Now, how would you do if you were Noah? Well, Noah walked with God. So now if you move through and there's David, and David has his situations in that, in all kinds of different ways. And David had a heart for God, looked to God. That's how David survived, actually. Daniel did wonderful. He lived through three dynasties, unbelief, getting worse and worse from the days of Nebuchadnezzar onward. So he lived through that. Now, here's Jeremiah going back a step before Daniel. And Jeremiah lives in very difficult conditions year after year, actually. And in the process, the people are not believing. Now, God, we're trying to get a handle, God help us, on understanding. Here we are living in our earthly bodies, and our earthly bodies are in varying conditions. And they vary, so that one period of history you feel good, and the next period you don't feel so good. You live in a world system that is deteriorating. And in the process, the global conditions are such that they're really global everywhere. And thus, and here we are in our nation having to deal and cope with all of the world conditions around us, and we need to be healthy and strong in looking to God to handle it, all that. We live in it. You live in your given conditions, work, home, and school. So that's where we're going. We're trying to get a handle on that because Jeremiah is living in horrible conditions. No more than Noah, but certainly not any better. They certainly not very good, to say the least, where Jeremiah is. So now, having said that little bit, in our little study of Jeremiah thus far in chapter 17, we have looked, and Jeremiah continues to hold the line, looking to God to heal him and save him and help him. He's getting beat up all over the place, and they mock him, they ridicule him, they persecute him, they wish he'd go away, they're trying to kill him. That doesn't sound very, very good. Now, chapter 17, if I can, in verse 16. Now, Jeremiah, in looking, remember, I'll read verse 14, "Heal me, O Lord, and I shall be healed. Save me, and I shall be saved, for thou art my God, my praise. Behold, they say unto me, where is the word of the Lord? Let it come now. As for me, I have not hastened from being a pastor to follow thee," etc. Now, so Jeremiah, looking to God, in the midst of understanding the heart, back chapter 17, verse 9, the heart is deceitful and desperately wicked. And that's why you would say, how come humans would ever choose to be cursed, Jeremiah 17:5, trusting themselves, having a horrible outlook of what's ahead? Why would they do that when God tells them they could be like blessed, like a tree planted by the waters and that never has any problems? Why would they do that? Because of the heart. It's a heart problem. It has nothing to do with the conditions at all. So now, having said that little bit and keeping that in mind, you'll pick that up a little bit coming up, if the Lord tarries and we live, in John chapter 13 and that. On Judas, God, why did you pick Judas? You knew all about Judas before he was ever born. Now, why would you pick Judas? Now, so here we are back in Jeremiah 17, verse 16. In 17, verse 16, Jeremiah is going to tell you three things that encourage his heart. He's hanging in there. He isn't backing away. So we want to exercise the three things that he's encouraged by. He's looking to what he's done, how he's trying to handle things. And thus, as for me, I have not hastened from being a pastor to follow thee. So now, little verb to hasten, move quickly, to move fast, to urge oneself forward, I have not hastened, withdraw, to move oneself forward, to earn oneself forward. I have not sought to go and lose my function. I am to represent you before Israel, and I don't want to lose that. I am the word pastor, shepherd. I have been a shepherd to Israel. I have been a shepherd to Israel. And I have no intention whatsoever of not continuing to be a shepherd. That's my assignment. And I don't intend to waver, falter, fall away, fall backwards in any way, shape, or form. I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to withdraw my name. I'm not going to withdraw my activity. I'm not going into seclusion. I'm going to stay right on the battlefield. Now, that's Jeremiah's determination. And having said that, and keeping that in mind, chapter 16, as for me, I have not hastened thus. And the word shepherd, remember, shepherd looking to God, leading, guiding, enabling. Jeremiah has all the benefits, but the people don't. The people don't have any benefits. They just are not receiving them. So now, in the light of that, and in the light of all the prophecies, he's delivering the prophecies faithfully in every way, shape, or form. Now, having said that little bit, over to Jeremiah chapter 25. Jeremiah is faithful, and he's looking to God. There's nothing wrong with claiming that. Jeremiah says, I have sought to honor you. In chapter 25 of Jeremiah, picking up, if I may, in thought, chapter 25, in verse 3. From the 14th year of Josiah, unto the son of Amon, king of Judah, even unto this day, that is 23rd year, the word of the Lord hath come unto me, and I have spoken unto you, rising early and speaking, but you have not hearkened. So Jeremiah, and now you're going, when you're looking at that, 23rd, you're looking at Jehoiakim, the fifth year of the reign of Jehoiakim. I know that's important to you, but there's Josiah, each king, and this is the fifth year of Jehoiakim. Now, so in the process, sliding down, chapter 25, and over to verse 13. Remember now, he's all those years, he hasn't quit, he hasn't backed down, he hasn't backed off. And in chapter 25, verse 13, I will bring upon the land all my words which I have pronounced against it, even all that is written in this book, which Jeremiah hath prophesied against all nations. So God, you're recording, Jeremiah wrote, and I had Jeremiah, I told him all the things to say, and he said it. And I want you to know that everything I told Jeremiah to say has happened and going to happen. That's what it's going to do. So Jeremiah, Are you being faithful in God's faithfulness? I am, I am, I am. I'm looking to God. Now, and God, that's what you're looking for. Consistency. Remember, Abraham was chosen. He tells you before he's had any Isaac or anybody. He said, I know the heart of Abraham, that he will stay with me all the way down the corridor of time. I already know he'll be faithful. That's what I know about him. That's why I choose him. He's going to be faithful. Now, faithful. Now, how are we going to... Jeremiah, you're hanging in there. And that's because... chapter 17, verse 14. Because God, you heal me. I get wounded, battered, beaten by everything going on. But you're keeping me well and fit and eager. And you save me. You save me. And if you heal me, I'm going to be healed. If you save me, I'm going to be saved. And I want to do it all for you, as we shared last time. I want to do it all. God, the only reason I want to be healthy, wealthy, and wise is for you. That's all I want. God, I want to be saved, safely delivered, rescued, hour after hour, so that I'm consistent, hanging in there. And I want to do that, God. But I don't want to do it for me, or my comfort, or anything else, or my eyes, or anything. I want to do it for you, God. For you. That's the only reason. No other reason. Wow. Now, hang on. Over, if you would please, to Lamentations. And Jeremiah, remember, Lamentations is looking at the destruction of Jerusalem. And Jeremiah is going to help us. Lamentations chapter 3. Picking up, if I may. And remember now, everything isn't easy. Nothing's going to be easy. God never made it easy. How are you going to be, if you were in heaven, that's pretty good. But you aren't in heaven. How do you get saved? You get saved in this body. What body? The same body you were born in. The same body with headache, earaches, and everything else. That's what you get saved in. God didn't make it go away. God saved you in the body by his presence. But the body's still there, the flesh. The world's still there. We have the same parents, the same everything. But what's different? God, you save us in the midst of it. So I don't want to think that I'm saved and then I'm supposed to see everything different. God, you aren't trying to save the world. You're trying to save whosoever's that are in the world that would believe. You aren't trying to make the system better. You aren't trying to make anything better. And you're saving us. And if we understand and do things in a secular, educational, every kind of way, then we can do them unto the Lord, and we can do them as unto God's glory and honor, and God gets the credit for what he's doing. So now, Lamentations chapter 3, consider the city in mourning, consider Jeremiah. Verse 19. Remember mine affliction and my misery and the wormwood and the gall. All of that isn't good. Wormwood, gall, heartache, headache. Wow, you got everything. You don't have. That's not good. Not good stuff. Nope. My soul, verse 20, hath them still in remembrance and is humbled in me. So Jeremiah, you're looking at the ruined city, temple. My heart is humbled. Verse 21. This I recall to my mind. Therefore, I have hope. Why do you have hope? Well, because I'm looking to God, who's outworking his wonderful plan. Hang on. Verse 22. It is of the Lord's mercy that we are not consumed, because his compassions fail not. Verse 23. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. And the Lord is my portion, saith my soul. Therefore will I hope in him. So God, are you going to be faithful? Jeremiah, how on earth did you live through all those years? And you didn't back off, you didn't back down, you got wounded, beaten up, and everything else, but God kept you. That's right. And Jeremiah, you're claiming God, telling God to be encouraged. God, I'm hanging in there. Noah, what are you going to say? I'm walking with you, God. Enoch, what are you going to say? God, I'm looking for you. Wow. They're conscious of God. And in the process, his faithfulness, his wonderful, wonderful faithfulness. Would you go over with me, please, to Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians and chapter 1. And I want you just to note, because here's Jeremiah, here's Noah, here are these people being faithful, and God looking to them. So where do I fit in? Where do we fit in? Here we are. We want to be believers looking to God. In Ephesians chapter 1, you would recall verse 1. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, to the saints which are at Ephesus, and to the faithful in Christ Jesus. So God, you're looking to all the believers in Corinth and Antioch, in Derbe and Lystra, wherever they are, that's right, to the faithful. So believers in the church are supposed to be faithful, wonderfully, wonderfully faithful. Over to 1 Thessalonians. 1 Thessalonians, and that what made them. If you would, 1 Thessalonians. And if I can, in chapter 1, 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, picking up, if I may, in verse 8. From you, Thessalonians, sounded out the word of the Lord, not only in Macedonia, Achaia, but in every place your faith, the faith of you, is to Godward, is spread abroad, so that we need not to speak anything. There was no question, are the believers in Thessalonica saved? Do they know the Lord as their Savior? Absolutely. Does anyone, if you travel, here's the northern part of Corinth, the southern part of Corinth, here's all the area. Is any of you people out there, what do you know about the Thessalonians? They're believers. They're believers, and they're really believers, and they hang in there, and hang in there, and hang in there. And in fact, chapter 1, for they themselves show of us what manner of entering in we had unto you, how you turned to God from idols to serve the living and true God. To wait, and they're waiting, for his Son from heaven, out from the heavens, whom he raised from the dead, even Jesus, which delivered us from the wrath to come. Now that's what they knew. So they're being faithful, faithful, faithful. That's what they're doing. That's us. That's what God you're looking for. So Jeremiah, you're going to help him. Jeremiah's encouraged because he's looking to God as the shepherd. He's doing his assignment. And so what? We're going to be encouraged. Because we're nobodies, as it's in comparison, if you want. But God, you're somebody. And in your faithfulness, we're going to look to you and hang in there. So chapter 1 Thessalonians, chapter 5. And if I may, verse 23. 5 and 23. And the very God of peace sanctify, set you apart, separate you holy, and pray, God, your whole spirit, soul, and body be preserved, blameless, unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. So what are you doing? Chapter 1, we're waiting for him out of heaven. And what do you know? We know the very God that saved us and set us apart. We're waiting. They're going to be blameless at his coming. Now, in order to get that a little bit, here's the very God of peace sanctify you holy, and thus, body, soul, spirit. So here you are. Think of the watch. What did the Thessalonians know? They were here. They got saved. They came to know the Lord as their Savior. When they got saved, God not only saved them, He sanctified them. And I sanctified my watch. I set my watch apart to fulfill its purpose for me. All kinds of watches, all kinds. And this watch was stopped back there. I couldn't understand how you started, but my watch said 20 after 7. But Alan corrected me and said, no, it's not. And so he said, you better go up. I said, I don't have a watch. So he fixed my watch, and I put my watch back on. And right now it says 7:25. It's sanctified. Do you understand? He sanctified you, body, soul, spirit. That's what it means. He claimed you holy. And thus, verse 24, faithful is he that calleth you, who also will do it. Yeah, he's going to do it. That's right. So Jeremiah, you're a one encouraging fellow. No one. Who's encouraging Jeremiah? We never read of anyone yet. Oh, he has some friends, Barak and that. But Jeremiah, whoever, where do you go to get in comfort? God. Where do you go to be encouraged, to stay with it, to stay on track? To God, to His Word. And thus, 1 Corinthians, well, since we're on this little track, 1 Corinthians chapter 1, all kinds of ways to say it. I'm just going to do a couple to remind you. Jeremiah, faithful, God is faithful, continuously to be who He is, to do what He does. And therefore, as we look to God and rest in God and count on God, we're going to be faithful. We're going to be doing the same thing. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 9, God is faithful, by whom you were called into fellowship of His Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. So you're faithful. Fellowship, the wonderful, wonderful fellowship, the communion, a partnership, sharing in common is the word. God, you brought the believing Corinthians, the believing believers, you brought them into the place because you have a unique fellowship, relationship to God, the Father, and you make possible that relationship for the believer. You provide that relationship for the believer. How do you provide it? You, the Son, Christ in you, the hope of glory. You're a new creature, what? In Christ. Christ is the basis of your fellowship. It's nothing to do with you if you're going to say, well, you're who I am, and I think, nothing. Nope. God, He brought us into wonderful fellowship. God is faithful to do it in Christ Jesus. And He brought us in to make it all possible. He provides for the reality of it. He provides for our joint participation with the Father, with Himself, by way of the Spirit of God. Wow. You do that. That's right. So God, you're doing the whole, I am. That's called grace. 1 Corinthians 10. And on the part, you know, you got to live through all kinds of things. You got to go through them. You got to learn, wait, and go through the process to get the product. You don't want to quit in the middle of it. In the middle of the English class, don't you want to finish the class? If you finish the math class, whatever you're doing, don't you want to finish? So what was the purpose? You started, you want to finish it. I want to get what I'm supposed to know. 1 Corinthians 10, verse 13. There hath no temptation, testing, putting to the test, a trial, taken you, but such is this common demand, so you can't ever say, well, this is how come? No, because I'm a human. I'm a human, part of the human race. But God is faithful, there's your little word, who will not suffer you to be tempted, tried, tested, proven, above that you're able to do, but will make with the temptation, trial, test, also make a way to escape that you may be able to bear it. So God, if you send it my way, then God, I'm going to go through it and work it through. Jeremiah is in the middle, and God, you could have cut it off 10 years ago, but you didn't. And Jeremiah is still there, and the thing is getting worse. Noah, you could have, God cut it off and had the ark done. God could have just made the ark. In fact, God didn't even need the ark. But he did. And Noah, you had to live through the whole 120 years. That's correct. So now, in closing of this little part, over to 1 Corinthians 4. In 1 Corinthians 4, remember let no man so account of us as the ministers, the under rowers. Remember the little word minister there is down in the bottom of the ship. The deck is on top, you're down underneath in the middle, rowing. As ministers, under rowers of Christ, and stewards, wonderfully, stewards of the mysteries of God, even our soon coming. So we have, we're stewards, under rowers, of serving. Not very prominent is that, under rower. Who even knows you exist? But you are stewards, you are custodians of truth, of truths that are mysteries, the mystery of godliness, the mystery of iniquity, etc. Mystery of his soon coming. Wow. Lots of mysteries. And they're ours. There are. We belong. We belong to the God who gave them, who said them. And therefore, verse 2, moreover, it is required in stewards, what are they supposed to be? That a man be found faithful his whole life, start to finish, he ought to be faithful. And Jeremiah, are you qualified to fit that? Yes. Way back then, that's what you did. You were hanging in there, and you hung in there, and hung in there, all the way to Nebuchadnezzar leveling the city. And even afterwards, you hung in there. Wow. So now, back over to Jeremiah chapter 17. And in Jeremiah chapter 17, may pick up the thought. In verse 16, remember now, he's three things, you remember. He's faithful. He doesn't go back. He isn't going to go back. He's set. His heart is set no matter what, who, when, where. He's set to go forward as a shepherd to do his assignment. That's what he's going to do. No matter who, what, when, where, that's what he's going to do. Secondly, verse 16, he's encouraged to follow, neither have I desired the woeful day. I haven't desired the woeful day. That means woeful, the disaster, the day of disaster. All the prophecies that I brought are woeful. They're destructive. God gave them. God said them. God's going to do them. And I haven't desired that Israel get clipped. I wish they wouldn't get clipped. And I keep telling them to get saved. I keep telling them to trust God. I keep telling them to turn around. But they don't. They don't. They don't. They don't. They don't. But I have not desired it. I didn't sit there and want to say bad things about it. God, you said them. You said them. You condemned the world. I didn't condemn the world. You didn't condemn the world. You would have condemned yourself. You condemn anybody, you're going to condemn yourself. You're part of the system. No matter how you want to look at it, frontwards, backwards, upside down, you're part of humanity. You're part of the problem. You're also now, being part of the problem, you are part of the solution in the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, so here's Jeremiah. And I have not desired the woeful day to desire it, to wish it. I didn't long for it. I wish it didn't happen. But it is going to happen. It just plain is going to happen. And I don't wish it, but God, you said it. And that's what you said. And that's what's going to happen. So that's the way it is. And that's what Jeremiah says. He said, I am only saying what God says. Well, I don't like that. It doesn't matter whether you like it. It's what God said. That's what you want to know. What does God say? Jeremiah, that's why you're encouraged. If you gave a whole lot of baloney, then when would you be encouraged? Tell them a whole lot of fairy tales, stuff that isn't true, hang on to stuff that isn't true and talk about it. But when it comes push to shove, none of it was real. None of it was any good. Hypocrites. A hoax. What good's that? What good's that? Doctor telling you, oh, there's no problem. There's no problem. If there is a problem, don't you want to know? Don't you want to know what to do, what to do and not do to try to work it out? Well, that's what you want. And God knows. So, Jeremiah, you're encouraged. You're encouraged. All you're doing is saying what God said. The people don't like it. I can't help it, he said. I can't help it. Now, and thus, the third thing, in verse 16, thou knowest, verse 16, I desire the woeful day. Thou knowest that which came out of my lips was right before thee. So God, you already know it, experience it. You're the witness. You know what came out of my lips all the way from start to finish. You know it. In fact, you're the one, Jeremiah 1:9, you're the one that, back over, hold your finger there for a sec. Jeremiah chapter 1, verse 9. Jeremiah 1:9. The Lord put forth his hand and touched my mouth, and the Lord said unto me, behold, I have put my words in thy mouth. Now, what more can you say? Jeremiah, all you're doing is encouraging yourself with God. That's all. You're being faithful, hanging in there. And if things aren't good, you wish they were better, but they aren't. And by the way, God, you know, I've tried to say the right thing in the right way at the right time, and I've fumbled through a couple of things. You help me, chapter 15. And in chapter 15, you recall, verse 19, therefore, thus saith the Lord, if thou return, then will I bring thee again, thou shalt stand before me, if thou take forth the precious from the vial. I don't want your opinions, I just want you to say what I have to say. Thou shalt be as my mouth. I let them return unto thee, but return not unto them. In other words, hang in there, stay with me, stay not with them, stay with me. So God, Jeremiah chapter 17, verse 16, God, you know what was in my mouth. You know what I said. No question about it. Therefore, God, so I'm encouraged. And I know what's going to happen. Verse 17, be not a terror unto me. Thou art my hope in the day of evil. Don't be a terror. The word terror means to be a noun, ruin. Don't be in the direction of me to break something in pieces, to do something terrible. God, I don't want to see that. I don't want that to happen, God. I want to hang in there and do it right. And God, you know. And so Jeremiah understands what? Chapter 1 again, Jeremiah. In the beginning, you spelled it out, God, for him. Jeremiah chapter 1, picking up, if I may, in verse 17. Thou therefore gird up the loins and arise and speak unto them. All that I command thee, be not dismayed at their faces, lest I confound thee before them. Do you see the verb dismayed? That's the word terror, to be a ruin. And it's repeated again. The verb's repeated, and it's translated confound. Be not dis. I command thee, be not dismayed at their faces. Don't get all, because you can know how people can look at you fiercely, and etc. Wow. Don't let that get you. Don't let that get you. No. And at their faces, lest I confound thee, make thee a terror before them. I'm going to confound you, Jeremiah. So Jeremiah has it up front, honor me, and I'll honor you. You don't honor me, then I will not honor you. And you're going to be put on the block, and they're all going to look at you like in John 15. They're going to say, how come the branch has no fruit? And the world is going to go and cast it into the fire. It has no testimony. It has nothing. It's a piece of dead wood. What testimony is a piece of dead wood? Nothing. Where's the leaves? Where's the fruit, you see? Now, so here we are looking, if we can, lest I confound thee before them. So Jeremiah understands the need to be faithful. So it's no little picnic. No, God, you call us. In fact, you said it. All the different ways to say it, but at this point, Peter and all of that. God, what did you tell us? If judgment, Peter, begins where? At the house of God. Where is it going to be for the unsaved? I always start with the Jew first. They had the information, and I hold them accountable for what they had and should have done. I then go out to the rest. I start with the people that are supposed to know me and honor me. That's where I start. And I'm looking for them to be faithful in my faithfulness. Not theirs. They don't have any, but I do. I'm a consistent God, being consistently who I am, and therefore you trust me. Over, if you can, back over, if you would, and back at Jeremiah and chapter 17. Chapter 17. And Jeremiah, verse 17. Be not a terror unto me, thou art my hope in the day of evil. Bad, when everything's not good. God, let not my loyalty to thee be the cause of my ruin. God, I'm going to hang in there. So God, be gracious to me, heal me, save me. Now, what do I know? Well, here's Israel. Here's Jerusalem and Jerusalem and Judah. What do we know? We shared together last time. They refused to be healed, didn't they? They refused to be healed. God would heal them. They refused to do it. They refused to have hope. And they said, there is no hope for us. We're just going to follow our lovers and our pursuits because there is no hope. There is no future. There is no accounting of anything. It's just what it is. And we live in a world now that is so involved. I don't know how you see the news or pay any attention from South America, Venezuela, Brazil, wherever you want to go. Where do you want to go? Man, it's active, lots of stuff. And we don't control any of it. All of it's going on, power plays, all politics, power plays, etc. Wow. Now, so God, here we are, and we're looking to you to do a work in our little heart and head, and we're going to be faithful. God help us, and that's all we can do, God. And then we aren't asking for anything else. We're looking. What did you want, Jeremiah? I just wanted to be faithful to God. And I knew his mercy and grace were new every morning. His compassions fail not. I know that. But You got to hang in there because it is the situation, the circumstances, the world in which we live, the body in which you live is the same. It's the same thing. Same. You're going to get it. You're going to go to bed tonight or somewhere, and get up in the morning. And guess what gets up? The same thing that went to bed, isn't it? You're going to go to bed. You put the thing to bed. That's you. And when you get up in the morning, it's the same thing when you get up. Open your eyes, it's you. You again, you see. You can close them, but when you open your eyes again, it's you again. Wow. So God, there's no sense in playing games. We've got to win. So God, Jeremiah says, listen, I'm looking to you, God. You're my hope, and you're my hope in this evil, bad, terrible, terrible day. We can't do very far, but a little. Let them be confounded, put to shame that persecute me. Let not me be put to shame, confounded. Let them be dismayed. There's your word terror, to be brought to ruin. Let them be dismayed. Let them be ruined. Let them be broken in pieces. Let them. And let not me be dismayed. I don't want it, God. Let it happen to them. Bring upon them the day of evil to destroy them with double destruction. Jeremiah, what are you saying? Listen, I'm telling you, I'm being faithful, but I want you to know, I understand that everything is against me and it isn't going away. So God, and by the way, verse 15, behold, they say unto me, where is the word of the Lord? Let it now come. So remember, that was their taunt, their taunt, their jeer, their mocking, their ridicule. Where's the Lord coming? You keep saying he's coming, he's coming, he's coming, he's coming. And see, Jerusalem's here. Nebuchadnezzar's not here. No Nebuchadnezzar, except in and out. But he isn't doing anything. We have our kings, Jehoiakim and each one. We have what we have. So what are you talking about, Jeremiah? Why don't you shut up? Either have it happen now or shut up. That's what he said. Mocked him. And thus Jeremiah reacted to that. What did you do? God, make happen what you said would be. They don't believe it will ever happen, but it is going to happen. God, let them be judged. Let them be put to shame. Let them be ruined. Let it be a double portion on them. They deserve it. They look to it. Now, having said that little bit, in chapter 18, verse 18, 18:18. Did the people back off? No. Then said they, come, let us devise devices against Jeremiah. For the law shall not perish from the priest, nor counsel from the wise, nor the word from the prophet. Come and let us smite him with a tongue, and let us not give heed to any of his words. And Jeremiah says, you see, they aren't even interested. And therefore, God, they're mocking you. Vindicate yourself. Judge them. That's what he did. And God is going to do it. You say, well, no, think of Peter. Where is the promise of his coming? No coming. Does anyone believe he's coming? Who believes he's coming? Up and down the land. Wherever you want to go. No, and churches don't even believe it. They don't believe it's coming. No. We're going to go through the mill or something, or some other kind of thought. And we're just going to keep going, and things are going to be whatever. And ultimately, we don't know what they'll be. And we can have a whole lot of more theories and some books written about everything. But God, are we going to pay attention? No. In closing, over if you would. They're mocking it. That's what they do. So God, now let's do it another way. If you really know the Lord as your Savior, are you truly saved? Then be saved. Now, if you go, you don't have to do this. You have to do it very in God's will and timing and everything. Go up, walk up and down the street with a little sign on you. I am a saved believer, and the God, the living and only God, lives in my heart. I know him. God is my personal Savior. I know him. Now, and what's the public going to think? They'll think a lot. Think about you, won't they? Now, when they think about you. And now, when you do that, you're making it known in a most wonderful way that God is doing what he's doing, and you're going to hang in there. And then they say, well, see if he's saved. You see, let's see if he's saved. And let's beat him up. Let's do something. Let's see if he's really saved. See. And so God, but we are saved, aren't we? Aren't we saved? No matter who, what, when, where, how, aren't you saved? You're saved. You're saved. Then be saved. You don't have to back down. You don't have to back off. Be saved. And they don't want you to be saved. The world doesn't want you to be saved. They don't want to hear about being saved like that. They don't mind church and everything. They don't want to be saved like that. That's such a dynamic and dramatic, awesome thing to get saved. So God, you're saved. I am saved. I remember saying that for a little quick illustration, for good or bad, when I was in engineering and thus kind of thing. And when I had to go home like that, and when I was raised in a Methodist church, of course, I was saved, not because of the church, because of a Sunday school teacher, and when I was little. But the church didn't believe. The people didn't believe. And most of my family were Catholic, Roman Catholic. And so in the process, when I go home from engineering and visit them and stuff, and in the process, they all, because I'd write my little notes and tracts and hand out things, you know, send them things. And so they had a meeting at one of the houses, and I had to go. I was there, and I sat in a circle, and they all, relatives all over the place, and they wanted to hear from me about this business of knowing Christ as your Savior. And that's what I did. I wish I could go back and do it. Boy, I don't know how good or bad I did, but I did it. I did it. And no one ever said a word. No one ever said a word after that. And a number of them got saved. But I did that. I stay that way. God, hang in there. That's what we want you to do. You want us to hang in there. That's right. I want you to hang in there and do the right thing. And honor me no matter what. And that's what I'm looking for. I'm looking for don't back down. I started to say it. It isn't a question. You can show. Show you're saved. I can't. Now, if God would do something, be a miracle or something, change us, resurrected body or something, but he isn't. So people have to just believe. They just have to believe. They have to believe about you. And you need to believe about Christ. You need to be a believer. That's what they need to see. What do they need to see? They need to see a believer, don't they? They need to see a believer believing. No? That's what they need to see. They can't see God. All they can do is see a believer believing. And that's what they're going to see. And that's what we're looking for. God. So God, you're going to do what you do. Absolutely. Absolutely. But where's the promise of his God? He's coming. Our God is in the heavens. What? Doing whatever he pleases. The world says, where's your God? Where's your God? What kind of God do you have? I have the living and only God as my personal Savior and Lord. I'm a believer. Believing. And thus, all they can do is look at you. All they can do, and you don't get discouraged because they saw the most wonderful of all. They saw the Lord Jesus Christ for 3 1/3 years. True? And what did he tell them to do? Believe. He said over and over again, it is I. it is I. I am He. Believe. They didn't. And it only got worse, didn't it? Only got worse. Till the people yelled, not just the leaders, the Pharisees, Sadducees. The people yelled, crucify Him. Crucify Him. He hung in there. That's what you do. That's what Jeremiah is doing. That's what is required. Because things aren't changing yet. They haven't happened yet. And when they do, Revelation chapter 9 and that, the world is going to be so hooked on drugs, marijuana, all the other junk stuff they put out there. They're going to be so caught up that all they can do is shake their fist at God. That's all they can do. They'll be so hard. That's awesome. But that isn't yet. They said, there is no truth. Oh, but there is. There is. So God, we're looking to You to deal with us. Thank You for Your grace and kindness and God's patience. Thank You, God. And Your patience. Thank You.